just thank you for this beautiful Sunday morning. Thank you for your many blessings. Lord, we just want you to be honored today and everything that is said and sung, Lord. And Lord, just be here in our midst. In your name, amen.
We will sing, sing, sing.
is a Memorial Day weekend, and we want to honor all those who gave their lives so that we might be free. We remember those recent wars and conflicts, all the way back to our forefathers who fought to make this land free for us. We're so grateful for the freedoms that we have. You may not feel like you have very many right now sheltering in place, but trust me, people, we have a lot of freedom here. We can worship the Lord online like this and not worry about the police coming and breaking down the doors and hauling us off to prison. People gave their lives that we might have these freedoms, and we appreciate that. We also appreciate and remember the one who laid down his life for all of us, and that's Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for that. We normally sing an old hymn every year this weekend. It's called the Battle Hymn of the Republic, but the new name of the song is Mine Eyes Have Seen the Glory. And Bailey, you're going to lead it, right? Okay. feeling like you're sinking in the ocean, Lord, I just pray right now that the Holy Spirit would just come and just lift you up. Just breathe in and breathe out. The Lord is here to carry you. He's reaching out to you. He loves you and cares so much about you. Spiritual that was written based on John 5:4, where an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the waters. Whosoever then, first after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of what disease he had.
Morning, church. Hope everybody's having a wonderful morning. Thank you, Hill family, for a wonderful time of worship this morning. It was just absolutely beautiful. And I thank you so much for being a part of that and leading us in our time of worship each week. I do want to take a moment this morning before we start. This is Memorial Day weekend. And I want to take just a moment to thank our vets and our active service men and women. We are at Sanctuary incredibly supportive of our military men and women. We love and appreciate you so very, very much. We are grateful for all of the time that you have put into serving our country, for the sacrifices you have made. We, again, thank you so very much. In fact, if you are watching this morning and there is a vet among you this morning, take a moment to tell them thank you right now. That's what Memorial Day is all about. It's about thanking our servicemen and women for what they have done for us. So take a moment to thank them before we get started this morning. We are going to start with a word of prayer. Lord, I just thank you for all the blessings you pour out upon us. I do thank you, Lord, for all of our veterans, Father God, those that have served, those that are serving. Lord, and I even thank you for those that gave their very lives that we might be free. Father, I praise you, and I thank you for their sacrifice. Lord, I pray that you would bless those that are in our service today. Lord, that you would speak to them and protect them and guide them. Lord, especially those that are in active duty, involved in frontline missions. Lord, would you just wrap your hedge of protection around them and keep them safe, Father God. Lord, I pray for those sacrificed over the years. Pray for your blessing upon them. Lord, this morning as we get into the message, as we get into the word, Lord, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would descend upon every house, every living room, every family room that is tuned in watching this message, that you, Lord God Almighty, would be glorified, that you would speak to your people, that you would touch each and every individual right where they're at, right where they need you this morning. Minister to them, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Wisdom, it listens before speaking, thinks before acting, observes before indulging, and asks when in doubt. All of these attributes can be seen in the wise man's relationships with others. One of the gifts that certainly should be high on our list of desires is that gift of wisdom. According to the book of James, it's available to all of us. All we have to do is ask for it, and God will give us that wisdom we seek. Also, according to James, wisdom indeed shows itself in the character, in the attitude, and in the actions in the person who operates in wisdom. Let me just read the text that we've talked about the last several weeks in regards to that. James 3:17. The wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. We also know, based on what we've learned so far, that King Solomon chose wisdom above all else. He that he wanted, and he chose wisdom when he was given the opportunity by the Lord. He asked for that discerning heart. Much of that discernment or that wisdom that God gave to Solomon has been recorded for us to read in the book of Proverbs. And it's in that book that we are spending our time these last several weeks learning what it means to be wise and understanding what a wise man might look like. So we're going to continue down that road. We're going to continue talking about the wise man's relationships as we started last week. Last week we looked at one relationship, and by far it was the most important relationship, man's relationship with the Lord. Today we're going to keep moving forward and we're going to talk about other relationships, and we're going to start with relationships within the family. It's no secret that the relationship between a child and a parent was always designed to be one of respect and obedience. God made that very clear when he wrote the fifth commandment, to honor your father and mother. That's not the only time we hear that commandment. It's repeated in Scripture, and Proverbs adds to that to give us a little bit more of it. Verses like Proverbs 17 and verse 6. Children's children are the crown to the aged, and parents are the pride of their children. A little bit later in the book of Proverbs, we hear about a parent-child relationship as well, this time from a little bit different perspective, one we might not like so much. Proverbs 30:17. The eye that mocks a father, that scorns the obedience to a mother, will be pecked out by the ravens of the valley and will be eaten by the vultures. Now that doesn't sound too pleasing to us, does it? But it's a warning about how important obedience is to our parents. Obedience and honor between parents and children has absolutely always been that high priority. And it's not something It's something that God decided, accordance to his commands, that it is in the list of priorities for us. Now, we talked about this a couple weeks ago at Mother's Day, but we're going to apply it again this morning to both parents. Honoring mom and dad never stops. We never reach an age when we are able to say we're done, that it no longer matters, that I don't have to honor my parents anymore. In fact, Proverbs tells us the opposite. Proverbs 23, verse 22. Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Even early on in the book of Proverbs, we get an understanding of how important it is to listen to and heed our parents' instructions. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8. Listen, my son, to your father's instructions, and do not forsake your mother's teachings. Not only is obedience and respect important in that wise relationship, as children, we are absolutely called to bring our honor. Proverbs 10:1. A wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish son grief to his mother. Proverbs 15:20. A wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish man despises his mother. Proverbs 23:24. The father of a righteous man has great joy. He who has a wise son delights in him. And there's certainly much more that can be said about that child-parent relationship. Now, we can continue to look at obedience and honor and nurturing, and that's all just a part of that relationship or attitude from a child to a parent. How a child responds to a parent, even later in life, speaks loudly to their desire to have a wise relationship with their parent. Perspective a little bit. What does the say, or how does it outline the relationship with parents to their children? Let's look at that a little. Proverbs 13:24. He who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to discipline him. See, let's spend a little bit of time talking about this particular verse before we move on this morning. First of all, I want you to understand completely that discipline is much different than abuse. Never confuse those two. This verse is not open season on child abuse. There is absolutely no excuse for that whatsoever. But discipline is supposed to be part of that parent-child relationship, and it is. And that's what that verse indicates or outlines to us this morning. If you're not already aware of this, let me make it clear to you. There is no child that is perfect. Not yours, not mine. There is no child anywhere that is perfect. We are all born as sinners, and we all sin. So we cannot take the attitude that our child is perfect. Part of a parent's responsibility is raising their children. The children that God has blessed them with, it's raising them and disciplining them so that they do what is right and honorable in the sight of God. Discipline is not the same as being their best friend. The two do not work together. The parent sometimes has to make some very hard, very difficult decisions at times, and the child is not always going to like those. The child is not always going to agree with or understand those, and most likely, many times, the child will disobey because they don't like the decision made. And it's then that discipline is absolutely in order, and that is part of the parent's duty. When a child is disciplined, they learn, they grow, they gain understanding, they gain wisdom. They learn what is acceptable and what is not acceptable, much like we learn when we are disciplined for our disobedience by our Heavenly Father. And He does discipline us. When we're wrong, when we're off course, when we're doing something we shouldn't be doing, He does discipline us so that we learn, so that we get back on the right path. That's how we as parents are to be to our children. As we learn to discipline them correctly, mind you, wisdom can be seen in us because we're teaching them as we should. The lack of discipline in our children's lives reflects a lack of wisdom in us. Of course, there's more to the parent's role than just discipline. So let's look at some other aspects. Proverbs 22 and verse 6. Train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. See, a child just doesn't turn out good by chance or by happenstance. Children are shaped and formed all through their lives. A wise parent knows that that is part of their job, to teach, to raise, to form their child according to Scripture, to teach them what the Word of God says. Now, one thing about this verse in Proverbs is we cannot misunderstand this Scripture. It is not a prophecy, nor is it a promise. It is a proverb. If you want your child to succeed and to become wise individuals themselves, then parents must learn to do the work that they have been called to do, to raise, to teach, to encourage, to discipline, to train their child up to be a God-fearing, Bible-believing individual. When they have been taught what the Word says throughout, they have been instructed to know right from wrong, that will stay with them. It will be in their minds and in their hearts. Does it mean that they will be perfect? Does it mean that they will never make a mistake? Does it mean they will always choose to do the right things? Unfortunately, no, it does not. But if they are never taught, if the biblical truth is never instilled in their lives, then they won't have a chance to do the right things. We as parents have not wisely trained them up according to God's word if we don't do everything Scripture calls for us to do. Teach, train, discipline, etc. Not only do parents discipline and guide their children, we also meet their physical needs as well as their spiritual needs. Proverbs 21:20 says, "In the house of the wise are stores of choice food and oil, but the foolish man devours all he has." Proverbs 14:26, "He who fears the Lord has a secure fortress, and for his children it will be a refuge." The parent-child relationship was never designed to be based on friendship, and the wise parent knows that. It's not saying we can't be friends with our children, but it's not based on friendship. Training children takes an incredible combination of discipline, encouragement, nurturing, and all of that has to be done and wrapped together in a very loving cloth. We have now talked about the wise relationship from kids to parents and parents to kids. What about between adults, say, husband and wife? Let's talk about that for a moment this morning. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 4. "A wife of noble character is her husband's crown." Proverbs 31:11. "Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value." Proverbs 31:28. "Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her." With Proverbs, we know that the last 22 verses of that entire book outline what we call the wife of noble character and describes what that wife might look like. See, God established something called a covenant, and a very beautiful covenant he created called marriage. What he created in that covenant is much, much different than what our world has made it out to be. This is not a one-sided relationship. It's not a self-serving or self-centered relationship. In fact, it's a relationship between three individuals: husband, wife, and God. And it's meant to be that way. Both the husband, with God's direction and guidance and blessing over that relationship, are to work together in harmony in all aspects of their marriage, not just when it comes to children, but all parts of their marital relationship. They are to support each other. They are to encourage each other. They are to complement each other. even those verses we just talked about, Proverbs 31, which is always attributed to the wife of noble character, but it too reveals a lot about the husband. Let's look at just a couple of verses this morning. Proverbs 31:10. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Now, while the wife is certainly praised there for her impeccable character, and by the way, character that is not just evident in public, but character that is evident in private, in the home. Same person, no matter who might see that character. The husband also has a role here. The husband needs to see and know and recognize that character, knowing how blessed he is to have such a precious individual in his life and guiding his family. He is to treat her as the precious jewel that she is. That verse told us that she's far more important, far more precious than rubies. And the husband needs to recognize that and treat her. What about the verse we read just a few moments ago? Chapter 31, verse 28. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. The children and the husband recognize the blessing that they have been given in their home, and they respond to her, lifting her up, letting her know how valuable she is to them, praising her. And again, not just privately in the confines of their home, but publicly for all to hear and see and know. The wise know the gift they have been given in their marriage. Both husband and wife understand the importance of their relationship with one another. They understand the mutual respect that there has to be, and how that desire to honor and encourage one another goes far beyond just a happy marriage, but it's a sign of a wise man and woman's life together. So a wise man's relationships starts with the Lord and most certainly affects his family, his children's relationship, the spouse's relationship. We've talked about each of those already. But what about people outside of the home? How does our wise relationship reflect in our friends and neighbors and even in the lives of strangers? Proverbs gives us direction on that as well. Let's take a look at a few verses this morning. Proverbs 27 and verse 10. Do not forsake your friend and the friend of your father, and do not go to your brother's house when disaster strikes you. Better a neighbor nearby than a brother far away. Proverbs 17:17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Proverbs 18:24. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Proverbs 3:27-30. Do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it is in your power to act. Do not say to your neighbor, come back later, I'll give it tomorrow, when you now have it with you. Do not plot harm against your neighbor who lives trustfully near you. Do not accuse a man for no reason when he has done you no harm. Proverbs 26:18-19. like a madman shooting firebrands or deadly arrows is a man who deceives his neighbor and says, I was only joking. The relationship of a wise man goes far beyond his private, personal relationships within his home. Every action, every deed done will reflect on the character of a wise man. How one treats another person speaks volumes. And we can see that in those scriptures that we just read through. A wise man simply does not forsake his friend. That relationship is incredibly valuable to a wise man. Why? Because most likely there will be a time when you will need to lean on each other. Help and encourage each other through some aspect of life. Even if we have good, close relationships with our family members, our personal family members, sometimes they're not in the same area as we are, or sometimes whatever is happening might just be too great of a burden for them to help with. It's then that we see the depth of our relationship within our church family, with our friends, or even with our neighbors. Of course, we all know and are very familiar with the golden rule. Treat others the way you want them to treat you is the basic gist of that. That rule is, first of all, very sound, but it's also the sign of a wise man. Our relationship with each other, our relationship with every person in our lives makes a bold statement to the depth of our wisdom. There are a great number of people in our lives today that might disagree with us over certain matters. Could be our religion, could be politics. It's a wide variety of things. Our relationship with others. Today, here in our current time, it could be our viewpoints on this whole pandemic that we're dealing with, or our concept or feeling of the shelter-in-place orders that have been posted on us. We might be upset about how businesses are being treated or unemployment is being handled. There's a myriad of things that could upset us or frustrate us or get us to a very unhappy place when dealing with other people. But just remember this. How we choose to interact and relate with other people speaks more towards our character than theirs. How we choose to interact with others speaks more towards our character than theirs. Our response to people is a reflection of the depth of wisdom in our own lives. So far, we have explored the wise man's character, and now we have examined how wisdom affects different relationships in a person's life. Starting, of course, with that single most important one, the relationship between an individual and our Lord Jesus Christ. But family, friends, neighbors, all of those are a sign of the wisdom that a man might have. Next week, we're going to start by taking a look at just a little bit other aspect of wisdom in a person's life. And that's the wisdom of a person's words. Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you for your text. We thank you for the scripture you have given us. We thank you for all the incredible lessons compiled there for us to learn so that we might grow closer to you. Father, I pray that you would help us to understand this whole concept of wisdom, how deep it is, what it affects, how it affects. Lord, let that character, let that wisdom grow within each and every one of us and shine brightly for you, Father God. That there would be no question, that there would be just no mistaking the wisdom in the hearts and lives and minds of your people. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless and have a great week in Jesus. Yeah.